You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au. This program was originally recorded for ACC TV.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Well, today I'm doing a different kind of a message. Today I'm going to talk about what do people think who don't go to church? What are they thinking? Why are some of the reasons why they don't turn up in our churches, in our communities, in our parishes, wherever we are? The truth is they're saying something to us. They're saying something to us about their relationship with God and the fact that very possibly we're not speaking a language or communicating to them in a manner that they understand. Some of the stuff in this is a bit tough to hear because it causes us who are in the Christian community to have to change. Well, that's what I'm going to talk about today. So go get your family, get your friends, get everybody you love. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. I know today's message is going to bless you. Well, today's culture building talk, the title of it is Knowing What the Unchurched Think. Knowing What the Unchurched Think. If you don't know what they think, you can't reach them. So what do they think? What are they feeling? What are the people who don't go to church? What is in their mind? And we're surrounded by them, aren't we? My desire is that you would realize that every encounter at church with people makes an impression that will either drive them away or give faith a chance to be heard and considered. Let me read that again. My desire is that you would realize that every encounter at church with people makes an impression that will either drive them away or give faith a chance to be heard and considered. While we may not have them at hello, they will wonder what's different about our hello and be open to listening. Let's look at our purpose statement again. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. We exist to bring disconnected people to an ever deepening relationship, not just a relationship. We're not Protestants. We're not Protestants. We're not evangelicals. We're Catholic evangelicals, maybe. But an ever-deepening relationship with Jesus, it doesn't stop. When I first started this, I felt like the Lord said to me, I want you to reach those disconnected from the church. Our Protestant brothers and sisters would say, reach those disconnected from Jesus. But Jesus established the church to be the vehicle through which he would be proclaimed. So the fundamental, when you say we're bringing someone to church as a Catholic, you are automatically bringing them to Christ, but the fullness of the expression of that, it's not because it isn't Jesus and me, because we are part of a body and not just an individual. And Jesus is our head, we're part of a body. So we have to change people's impression from the very first time we see them. And I'm going to give a talk in a little while about the first impression changes lives. The very first impression changes lives. I heard of a church that stood up one day and said, listen, everybody, we want to know who's brand new. If you're visiting here for the first time, why don't you all stand? We want to give you a warm fuzzy. And what they did was they had a little box of little fluff and they put a fluff on your shoulder. And they said to everybody, at coffee, go and give these people a hug. They didn't grow too well, that church. Right? But people want to come and be anonymous in the crowd. The other thing that the unchurched will ask is it well run? Because we're notorious for things being poorly run, aren't we? Is it well run? I had one man say to me, he says, I don't go to church, it's like walking in the Middle Ages. Right? You have a look at the world, we live in cities with computers and high quality and sometimes you can't see that. Now, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm not actually saying if I disagree or agree with what people's impression is. Because to be honest with you, those things don't matter to me. Not anymore. I'm happy to go to a place that's broken down and sit with a group of people and who love the Lord. That's far more important to me. But man looks at the outside, God looks at the heart. And if we don't win the battle at the visual, at the effect, we won't win the battle. And so some Catholics become very defensive because they go, you're negative, you're negative, you're negative. I'm not negative at all. I'm trying to reach people who are negative. Does that make sense? right? The fourth thing, is it worthwhile and useful to me? That always comes back. Is it worthwhile to my family? Is it worthwhile to my children? Mums will ask their children upon picking up their kids this question from children's ministry. Did you have fun? And that's the thing they've got to remember. And you can't teach your child in children's ministry the story of Jonah. Because when the parent child comes out, you can't just leave them there by yourself. Because when the child comes out and says to their 35-year-old Catholic mum or dad, so what did you do? And the parents say, what did you do? And we say, we did the story of Jonah. More than likely, the parent doesn't know the story. You have to give them a sentence or two to be able to say, this is what it was, mum and dad. Right? Because they don't know. And then number five, and this is a hard one, is how will I be perceived if I attend by people in my family or people in my world? How will I be perceived? I was in Canberra, and we were doing a mission, and for some reason the education department there heard that we were in town, and for their development, for their professional development, decided that quite a number of the Catholic schools had to send their teachers. And so each night we had 60, 70, 80 Catholic school teachers there. And so they'd come from different schools and they came in waves. They didn't come for the whole event, but they came for a night. And on the night, they sat at the back and many of them appeared very distracted. And then they left and they, et cetera. And then in the next few nights, because their group had gone, many of them just came back individually. But they didn't want to be in an environment with their peers that might say, look at what you got something out of that. And then they come the next night and they said to me, I thought I'd be the only teacher who came back, and there's actually other teachers who came back and they must have got something from it too. Perception is very powerful, isn't it? Yeah? It's very powerful. The level one is what is seen. Does this appear to be a place worth attending by what I see? In other words, the environment is important. The physical environment is important. And the Catholic Church knows this very, very well. Have a look at churches that have been built. Have a look at cathedrals that have been built. They speak of the glory. They're a statement about the glory of God. But what is seen? And then level two is what's felt. Its atmosphere dictates emotion. And if you talk to any salesman and if you study it, people buy on emotion and then they stay on reason, if that makes sense, right? Evangelization speaks to the heart, has to be intelligent, and it's here that surrender takes place, right? It's here, and that surrender leads very much to the next level, level three, which is what is known. And that's the surety about faith. The surety about faith, because whilst the truth is, often I don't feel too crash hot about my faith. I'm just, I don't know what happens, but I know that I know that I know. And so there's a maturity to it. So to get people to come, we have to help them to feel comfortable and become comfortable. Now, people are creatures of habit, aren't they? We actually have more habits than we think. We often go to the same bank, the same post office, the same shopping centre, the same restaurants. Why? For a number of reasons. And keep thinking, how are we going to get the unchurched to come? Right? We go to those places because it's pleasant. We go to places because of the quality. For example, for 15 years of my life, I've got to find a new one now, and I need one now. I use the same mechanic all the time because he was good. And because he's the third, because of the price. The price was good. You go and use the same places all the time because you develop relationship with people that are there. There's ease to get there. It's ease of entry. There's distance from home or distance from work. The quality of what you get and as to whether it's safe. So you'll notice everything we choose is we choose around that question of what's in it for me. It's a dominant question. The quality, speed, convenience, safety, these all reflect the priorities in our lives and in people's lives. Some years ago, Rosemary and I went to a Chinese restaurant, and we were there, and at the end of eating this Chinese food, the lady who was the manager of the Chinese restaurant, she walked up to us and she said, "You order no good." I remember she had broken English. She said, "You order no good. You order Aussie Chinese." I didn't know there was any, I didn't know I was in Australia, so I was ordering Chinese. And I said to her, so what should we have done? She said, order nothing on the menu. And we're in this really good restaurant. And I said, so how would we order? She said, you let me order for you. Well, sounded interesting. Well, some weeks later, we went back. She recognised us. And I remember on the day when we went back, she said to me, you order white person Chinese. She said, I will order Asian Chinese. Well, the food was unbelievable. I didn't even know Chinese food could taste like that. So much so, I've never gone back to a normal suburban Chinese restaurant. It just so destroyed me. It was the best Chinese. When Rosie and I, we go to a restaurant, it's about the experience, isn't it? It's about the quality of the experience. The owner of the restaurant, if they think about it, knows it. And so someone coming to us, they're not going to come because it's church. Just throw that idea out. They're not going to come because it's church. They're going to, you know, the convinced will, I'll go because it's church. My brothers aren't going to go because it's church. My brothers will come because of the experience. Or my brothers will come because they're going through a transition point. Something's happened, something's difficult, something's troubling them in their life. And so church becomes that backstop place. As they say, if you want to fill the church, let's just start a war. Everybody will come. And so the value of the experience matters to the customer. So if people are going to come to us, the value of the experience will matter. Because remember, it said in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at the outside, don't look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him, for the Lord doesn't see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. It's the same in the church. The experience will dictate what we're going to do. So we have to view the person coming to our services as consumers. Now we can say, that's the wrong way to talk about church, but that's exactly what they are. Look at all of these growing churches around the world. They are consumers. And we have to give them a reason to choose us as opposed to the things that are in their world. And why does it say in our purpose statement? I've never said this, I've never read you our purpose statement, but it says so that they love to attend. See, everybody's life is full. We've got to give them an experience that is so good that they will put us in the place of something that they're already doing, and they'll go, I was happy to throw off that thing I was already doing that was good, but this is a better. And if we're not better, they're not going to come. They're not going to come. We've got to compete with children's sport. We've got to compete with television. We've got to compete with chores around the house on Sundays. We've got to compete with apathy. We've got to compete with pressures from others to not attend. We've got to compete with reading the newspaper and staying home and having a cup of tea and toast in the morning. We have to compete with laziness, right? Good music will not get them to come. Don't kid yourself. Music will not get you. Good preaching will not get you to come. Will get them to come. You can't do it without good preaching. You can do it without good music. You can't do it without good preaching, but good preaching won't get them to come. And a nice place won't do it. What will do it is this, is their impression of us, what they see, what they feel, and then what they come to know. I believe because of what I saw, I've surrendered my life to Christ. Over time, I've seen the power of God work miraculously over and over and over again. I know it now. And so you can now take away the feeling, and I'm going to stand here, if that makes sense, because it's based on what I see. So we have to create, so what's our strategy? We have to create experiences that bring people back. So when we start, we've got to create experiences that bring them back. Why do we have to bring experiences, do that? For this reason, is that you respond with your head and heart over time. Very rarely does one proclamation of the gospel in the modern world get you. Back in the day of Billy Graham, it might have. We're not living in that era now. You need a repeated convincing discipleship, the transformation of people's lives. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he said 20 years ago, you used to go and stand up on Sunday at church and say, you know, it's sin to live together when you're not married. And he said, what would happen is people would hear that in church, they would go home, and one would move out. He said, today you stand up and say, it's sin to live together. They come and say, yes, I'll give my life to Jesus, and they come up the front, and they fall down the floor, and then they just go home. Because society is no longer Christian. And so people don't even have it in their psyche. People don't even have it in their psyche. So discipleship takes time. Culture, the reason we've spent 24 weeks at this and we've whittled the group down and whittled the group down and whittled the group down is because we're about culture building. Because it lives in the culture, in the talk, in the feel. And so when people don't come, you notice we didn't chase them. So we've whittled it down and whittled it down, whittled it down. And the other thing is friendship takes time. Friendship takes time. Now, having said all of that about what we're going to do to them, this next 5 minutes is what the whole night is about. What about us? So that's all well and good. That's all strategy. We can do that. And with the grace of God, we can do all that, right? This is the world we're working in. We're working in a world that isn't looking to the church to meet their needs, like my parents did. When my dad was struggling, when one of my brothers was divorced, I've told you this story before, I came home and he was at the kitchen table and he was almost crying and he had that big white Bible that every family had back in those days, or a lot of families had the big Bible, and he had it opened on the table, and I remember watching him, it was one, I'll never forget this, he flicking through the pages and him saying, I know there's good stuff in here, but I can't find anything. He didn't know it. He didn't know it. That's the world we're living. We're living in this world where we have meaning and answers. We have Christ. We are the church. As part of this universal church, and as we heard in the press statement that Jude read, the Holy Father is calling us to proclaim the gospel in fresh and bold ways. This is the game where we play. So what has to happen to us? We have to experience conversion. Not just conversion to Jesus, yeah, that's true. But we have to experience this conversion of this matters. This matters. This is worth sacrificing for. This is worth changing our lives for. And but more than that, it matters for this reason, because people matter. People matter. We've got to do this because people are valuable to God. Not because we want a big group, not because we want to have a this or a that, not because we want to be known, or not because it'll make us feel good, but because people matter. And we have a God who is desperately in love with people. And unfortunately, his strategy, which I wouldn't choose, is people. And we've got to take, you know, some of you have got, you know, various levels of theological training. Many of you have been in church for a long time. Some of you are blessed with not getting much out of it at all, and you're just getting interested in it, and you're going to be the ones who'll be able to relate to people better than we will, and you won't even know you know. Because you get a churchified person like me who's been around church for so long. The truth is, sometimes I'm not the best evangelist in the world. I'm just not. I can tell you what it says, but I'm so churchified. I can't relate as well as some of you who've been in the world. And you are going to be his hands and his mouth and his feet, and the witness of your life is going to be super powerful. That doesn't mean I don't have a place. So we, the apostle, the evangelizer, the preacher, the teacher, the prophet, the servant, the administrator, the singer, the children's minister, the youth minister, the greeter, the money counter, the counsellor, the cleaner, the chair putter outerer, the equipment bringer. We need to experience conversion, that this matters. But even at a deeper level, we have to experience conversion at the level of what it means to live a counterlife to secularism. We need to live lives that are not godless but God-filled. We have to live lives that are not about the individualism. We'd have to live lives that are counter to that, but rather lives of community and lives of church. We have to live lives that are counter to materialism and consumerism, that lead to selfishness and self-centeredness that says, here I am. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but sometimes stuff leads to self-centeredness, doesn't it? And he and the Lord is meant to be the center of our life. So to do this, Jesus has to colour our whole life in, and our prayer life in. Our study, our reading, our conversations, what we spend our time with has to be consumed with the presence of Jesus, with a heart that says, I love people so much that I want them to have what I have. Otherwise, we will do what some groups have done and what I've done in my life, is that we will look and we'll read the documents of the church and we'll hear the popes calling out for be bold, and we will be so well studied and we will be so well set up in our systems how we're going to do it, and we will understand it in our head, but we will be heartless. We will be successful when we begin to cry for the unchurched, for our brothers and sisters who are far from Christ. And because of it, their marriages are a mess. And for people that are lonely and are distant from knowing who God is, and they experience that in their everyday walk. And for teenagers who just are lost. We will have been converted when they matter to us more than we matter to us, because we're living in some sense in a world and we've become secular. Because we've become materialistic and we've become individualistic. This is about us. This is not actually about our strategy. Because anyone can come up with strategy. I've not told you anything today that you couldn't read in 1,000 books. Or you couldn't visit in 1,000 churches. I've not told you anything you can't find anywhere else. There's nothing in what I've told you that's particularly magic. Nothing. The secret to this is us. It's us. And unless we get that, we'll just have bishops writing nice things about us and saying, I'm excited. And yeah, we'll reach a few. But we won't know him. And that's the bit that makes the power. Dear Father, we come before you right now. And Lord God, we come before you, and yeah, we want to understand the unchurched, and it's so important, all those things. They're all so important, Lord. But they're not half as important as us being in love with you. It's not half as important as our hearts being surrendered and us experiencing your power and your transformation. And Lord God, we are saying to the world, and we are saying to the Catholic Church in this country, and we are saying to Christianity even more, that we are here to serve you, Lord, with our lives. To go as far as you would take us. To yield as much as you would take. To be women and men who within our own lives are transformed. And Lord, we can't do this if you don't come. Because intellect won't get us there, and experience won't get us there, and hard work won't get us there. Lord God, come to us this evening. Right now. Come to us right now. Come to us right now. Come and touch us right now, Lord God. And maybe if you look at your life and you say, gee, there's some areas of godlessness in my life. Or maybe you sit here and say, listen, I'm captured by what people think of me, that materialistic thing. I'm captured by what I have. I'm prisoner to my circumstances. Or I'm frightened by anyone telling me anything to do other than what I want to do. I could never be in a place where obedience is required. If that's you this evening, ask God for grace right now. Ask God for grace right now. Because it's in all of us.
Have you ever been to something that you really enjoy and then at the end of it you stop and you say to yourself, what's next? What do I do now? Well, we get asked that question all the time. And so what we did was we decided to come up with a way of helping people figure out what's next. every week we send to people an email, and in that email that goes right into your inbox, we send a link that takes you to another talk, another message, some more material that will help you go more deeply in your life and in your walk with God. You also receive with it some reflection notes and study notes. Some people do them by themselves. Some people do them with friends. Some people even have been doing them with parish groups. I've got to be honest, we never thought that that would happen. And the whole goal of it is to grow more deeply. We're called into an ever-deepening relationship with God. We're not called to be a people that are stagnant, that just believe and then that's the end, but rather a rich relationship with Jesus that takes us to a place where we more deeply surrender our lives and experience the power and the wonder of God in our life, because that is what's next. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly that when we do have needs, that we should come and we should gather people who are in love with God to pray for us and to pray for our needs. Well, sometimes finding people to pray for us can be very difficult. So why don't you do what many people do? Why don't you write to me, and I and my prayer team will pray with you that God blesses you and your circumstances. Now, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go right at this minute in your life, I want you to know that the Christian community sometimes does need to make a bigger effort to make you feel welcome, to understand your needs, to understand the things in your life, the circumstances where you are, and the struggles that you go through, because we all go through them. And to those of us who are in the Christian community, it's our responsibility to be open, to be welcome, to be understanding, to be faithful to the teaching of the church, and to do that in a way where we can truly call ourselves church, the good news of Christ being spread across the world. Well, that's it. I'm Bruce Downs. You've been watching The Catholic Guy. We'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world today, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au. To find out more about The Catholic Guy's discipleship program, visit whatsnext.thecatholicguy.tv. To send Bruce a prayer request, visit the contact section at thecatholicguy.tv. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.